Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Reggie, I'll start with you. The news about Reuben Foster in a diluted urine sample, what does that do to him on your guys' board and the valuation of him?
I mean, we just take everything into account. That's all part of the process. So where he goes and all of that, we kind of leave it in the room. But all that information that comes, we do our due diligence, and we'll, he'll go on the board accordingly.
You guys added mostly offensive players in the free agency. Does that make it the best defensive player available for the draft, or does that change at all your approach to the draft as far as what guys at the top of your board?
We're going to take the best player. All right, but there are some good defensive players in this draft. So, but we're going to follow our board, like always.
Did that play into what you did in free agency, knowing that this was a good draft defensively that you could maybe get there?
It played into it great. It's nice to have good players coming out on both sides of the ball, but it's, when you have good defensive players, and that's good. It's not like we didn't try to get defensive players during the offseason. The best ones were on offense that could help us, more impactful.
With both of you guys being former linebackers, how does that impact the way you view that position? And, what do you guys look for most when you're evaluating a guy that can play inside backer?
Well, we both love good football players, number one. And we want good linebacker play. And both Jack and I know what a good linebacker is supposed to look like. So we're going to get us a couple, I hope, at some point before we play in September, So whether then it's draft or post-draft or trade or, somebody gets released. Guys, we're gonna do everything we can to upgrade our team, every position, including linebacker.
Sorry about that. Zachariah, 95.7 The Game. I'm going to give you a break, Reggie. I'm going to go to Jack. I know you're an East Bay kid. I've been in Berkeley my entire life. I'm wondering, as a coach, how you're going to handle your players with the move to Las Vegas, having to tell them to both be excited to go there, but also not offending the people from the East Bay and Oakland and the Raiders fans here. It seems like it's going to be a tough balance for a coach to do.
Well, maybe at some point it will be, but right now it's all about the here and the now. We're definitely here now. We know we're going to train here this year in this building. We're going to play over in the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. We're going to be here and be present in the moment. And for us, it's all about, it's a day to day, week to week, a league, really. And so worrying about something 3 years from now, I think that's really more for other people. For us, for coaches, for players, we're going to focus on, the tough schedule that just came out Thursday, and how we can, dig into our preparation and attack each game with the necessary level of preparation, and then go get it.
Reggie, drafting down in the first round like you are at number 24, how does that kind of impact how you're looking at this draft? Obviously, 23 guys are going to get taken beforehand a lot more than in years past. How does that change or alter maybe how you the size of your draft cluster or kind of how you're looking at that spot?
Well, the one thing is it's more difficult. You have no idea who's coming down at 24. When you're picking 4 and 5, you can have a clue of a few players that you can pick from. But it's the draft is a funny thing. Players that you don't think may be at 24 could be there sitting right in front of your face. So we're going to study it continuously until that day. You never know how trades go. I mean, it's a different thing. But when you're down that low in comparison to where we have been the last few years, it's a different approach.
Reggie, it's no secret. It's been well publicized that the team has shown interest in Marshawn Lynch. For that situation to be remedied, some clarity there by the start of the draft. Is that fair to say that's what you guys want? Because you need to know whether or not this guy is in your building or not in your building as you go through the whole process of picking players and exactly where you stand at running back before the draft starts.
Yeah, at some point, we, you know, you like to know. And prior to the draft is that point, you know. You would like to know that. But, you know, our door is open, and we're not shutting the door until that time, pretty much. But who knows after that, you know. We're not going to ever say never. But the door is still open.
Reggie, dovetailing on the Marshawn question, same thing with Alden. I mean, do you still need to factor the potential that he might be back as well when you go into the draft? And Jack, how do you address that as well when you're going through the offseason workouts, whether you might have Marshawn Lynch and Alden Smith, one or the other, or possibly neither?
Well, as far as Alden in the draft, we're not – our thought process is just on the draft, not considering Alden at this point. He's still on the suspension list, so we're not considering – him at this point.
And we're too early in the offseason to be worrying about, you know, a particular player, whether he's going to be with us or not. And obviously, as you get closer to the regular season, then you begin to tailor your systems to make sure you're taking advantage of the players you have available, utilize their talents. And with that, you know, at this point, you know, it's a more of a broad-based system installation and teaching, some of the basic principles and fundamentals that we believe in. So we'll spend a lot of time with that, and we'll tailor it down as we get closer to the regular season.
Reggie, you've moved up. I mean, you've moved down before in previous drafts. Have you discussed moving up, knowing that you are lower in the first round this year, or does that go kind of against your philosophy?
Well, you know, it's really want to add players, good players, and this is a good draft to add players. But I would not hesitate if I have to move up a little bit to get an impact player that we feel that's on our board. If we have to move up a little bit, I would not hesitate.
Reggie, Randy Howe from NBC Las Vegas. One of your picks will be held at the Sign in Las Vegas. Do you know what round that pick is going to be at, and how you're going to make that pick for the Las Vegas fans?
You're talking about for the announcement?
Yeah, for the announcement. How will that go down on Saturday?
From what I understand, that'll be on the Saturday, and I don't know the particulars of it, but I do know that the Saturday picks will be made in Las Vegas.
And just a follow-up question on that. Just for the Vegas folks who don't follow the inner workings of the draft, tell me a little bit about draft day. I mean, are you guys pulling an all-nighter? Or are you here at 5 a.m. working the phones for trades? Does the phone ring in at 5 a.m. to you guys? Or how does draft day kind of work for the coaches and the front office?
Draft day is a fun day for us. I mean, the hard work is leading up to it. You know, draft day is really for you guys, you know, with the media and the hoopla in Philly. Now, the work that goes on during the draft, as far as calls and all of that stuff, is all you do is sit and we're sitting waiting for the 24th pick. Now, phone calls are made, but many times they're not made. So you just stay there and wait till your pick and pick the player. So it's not a the way you say 5 a.m. making phone calls. No, I'll be sleeping at 5 a.m.
Well, this is for each of you guys. What do you see as the team's biggest need right now?
Well, as far as Jack and his the team is concerned, I'm going to let him answer the question what he likes to have. But what we want is as a team moving forward, we just want some more impact players. You can never have enough playmakers on both sides of the ball and depth on both sides. So that's when you come in and try to just get you the best player that can do those things, you know, instead of just – we're not just going to plug holes, if that's what you're asking. We're going to get some good football players. regardless of who we have here.
Yeah, collect good players. I mean, that's what you're all about. I think, you know, you always fill in with other guys that have an opportunity to compete and create roles for themselves, and whatever they make it, it becomes. I mean, Jalen Richard is a great example of that. Last year, nobody, you know, we let a young man come in and compete. He earned his way, and we got even more than we thought we were getting in a free agent. So, you know, this is the time of year where it's a lot of fun, where we, you know, spend a lot of time and effort and energy evaluating these prospects, and that's what they are. They're prospects. They're not any known quantities here. You're talking about, you know, projecting what guys are going to do coming from the college game into the NFL, and it's an inexact science, and it's a lot of fun because it's a little bit like Christmas for a coach. You get players, and they're like gifts, and the better you select and the better the impact they make, the better your team becomes. And you know, we've been, you know, Reggie's done a great job of bringing in some good core players that are good people and good teammates, and we look to add a few more this weekend or next weekend.
Hey, Jack, you mentioned a little while ago about the good schedule. Any more specific impressions on your first look at the news yesterday?
Well, tough schedule, you know, with 9 road games is a challenge. 7 home, 9 on the road. There are challenges there. We have 3 out of 4 to start the year on the road and 3 out of 4 to end the year on the road. So those are tough things to get through. Playing in the East, so a lot of travel involved. We've got to handle our business that way and be real good with that. So it's a challenging schedule for sure. You know, one we're going to need to, you know, dig in, compete, and be as strong as we can each week.
Reggie, congratulations, first of all, on Executive of the Year. Well-deserved. I joked on air that if I were you, I would draft nothing but defensive players for the entire draft. I know that's probably not going to happen, but is it safe to say that you're going to err more on the side of defense than offense when it comes to the draft?
Don't be surprised if I draft all offensive players. How about that? You know, like I said earlier, it's a good defensive draft, so hopefully we can get a couple of defensive players that can help our team. But like we both said, you know, we just going to help this football team regardless of who's comes at our spot, whether it's first or seventh round. And hopefully we'll get some good players after the draft. So that's the plan. We just want to just keep stocking and let the chips fall.
Jack, was there anything you guys needed to hear from Marshawn when you met with him to say that something you would be want to go forward with if it works out, or what was that meeting like? What did you get out of that?
It's just part of the process I mean, I've been familiar with Marshawn in the past, but just part of the process of doing our due diligence, you know, seeing where he is and talking about expectations here and how they match up and things like that. So, you know, that's part of the process. I'll let Reggie handle it from there, but you know, we did, you know, spend some time with him and myself and with some of the offensive coaches.
Are you convinced that he wants to play football again, or is that still a question?
No, I think he's every indication I got was that he was excited to play for the Oakland Raiders.
Reggie, you guys, and this is for Jack too, have had a good record the past few years of players staying out of trouble, essentially. How much of it is doing all the homework, the due diligence that you talked about, you know, in the pre-draft process, and Jack, how much of it is just, you know, providing that culture of kind of everybody minding their P's and Q's and essentially just being good citizens?
I'll tell you what, I definitely think it goes hand in hand. I mean, guys come in squeaky clean, and they can turn one way or the other. So doing our due diligence pre-draft and drafting good character, high character players is definitely from day one was one of the philosophies that we're going to uphold. But you never know when a player gets fame, money, and attention. It can go either way. And that's where the staff come in, you know. I think Jack's done a great job with creating a culture within his team, with these players it's family around here, and you don't really want to disappoint your family. And the culture is good, and when you're around good people, that helps. It helps foster even some of the bad, some of the, you know, guys that are floating in between. Once they see what the leaders are doing, it's they kind of get in line. So hopefully that continues. But, you know, we're talking about 20, 22-year-old young men that are coming into this thing. And let's not be so quick to beat them up when they make a mistake.
You know, along with that, how, do you spend any time kind of talking with Lamont Winston? Did you get him involved pre-draft, or is that more once the guys are in the building?
He's involved in both aspects. Yeah. He's part of the culture with what Jack helped create around here. They're always in constant communication, and likewise with us before the draft when we go with certain players.
I think part of it, you know, part of the process is once they get here is the education piece, the expectation piece, understanding how we do things, what our culture is like, and that's from the veterans that are here now that they take ownership. You know, when I got here day one, I talked about it being a player-led. This is a players' league, and it needs to be player-led. And so the veterans carrying the torch. I mean, when guys come in the locker room now, you know, Derek Carr, Donald Penn, Khalil Mack, these guys are hitting them up right away on how we do it. And so expectations are laid out. Obviously, they're laid out by me as well and the coaches, but the leaders in the locker room, the veterans in the locker room is really the key, and I think that's where you know, we've continued to add good quality people that are good teammates, and we're going to continue to look for that. And it doesn't isolate you and make you you know, doesn't ever make it where it's impossible to have things happen, but it's going to be less likely. It's going to be less likely you're going to have issues, and obviously I'm very proud of our guys, the fact that we haven't, and I want to keep that going.
On those same lines of maintaining that locker room culture, how do you find prospects who love football? Just that thing alone. Like, everybody loves to win, but the guys who hate to lose, just that type of fabric of individual, which, you know, in a locker room of 53, 90 during training camp, there can be a variance there between how guys are wired.
Yeah, that's part of what we try to do, you know, with our scouts and coaches and all the work that goes into knowing as much as we can about these prospects before they get here. You know, you'd love to have guys that love the game that that are going to be, you know, good teammates, good players, and that have that refuse to lose mentality.
Jack, I think even from the first year, you'd always said that how well you and the personnel department had really gotten along. Do you feel like over the years that it's gotten more efficient and maybe even better just in terms of how you guys work in cohesion?
Well, you know, it's been unified from day one. So that part, you know, Reggie and I are very unified and very much on the same mission, and that is to bring a world championship home to this organization. And so everything we're doing is attacking that, adding these impact players where we can. And, you know, as you continue to strengthen your team, and then you have guys that you drafted now that soon will become free agents, and there's a whole different phase that we're about to go through as an organization. As you begin to mature, some of those players have to be re-signed. Or not. Those are decisions you have to make in all of that. So that's, you know, we're, you know, this is year three for us working together. You know, I feel like the relationship with the scouts and the coaches and the sharing of information is excellent, and that's, you know, we want to continue to work that way.
Reggie, Derek said the other day that ideally he'd like to get the contract extension done before training camp starts. Are you confident that you guys will be able to do that in that timeline? Or how?
I feel good about it. You know, it's when both sides want to get it done, that's a great step, great first step. So I'm looking forward to getting it done about then.
For both you guys, Does it seem already like it's been 32 years since you both went through the same draft, and how different now is the whole process as opposed to, you know, as on that side of the ball, as opposed to when you went through it as young college kids, those 22-year-old kids coming out of college?
Way to make us seem old.
Okay. I know, right?
Good job. You know what? We was kind of kidding about some of that stuff in the draft room with the scouts yesterday. And I always tell stories about back in the day. Draft has come a long way, but the excitement never changes. And I can remember like yesterday, the media part of it changed drastically, but trying to figure out where you're going to be as a 21-year-old, 22-year-old, that doesn't change. The excitement to play, you know, football as a job, I still feel that adrenaline to be a part of football at this point in my life. So it's and time has flown by. 32 years, that's a long time, but oof, it doesn't feel like that. But it's a great feeling, number one, to be a part of it still and to see young men like that. And I've, you know, we've been through this, you know. So we kind of know what they've gone through, you know, and we can share stories. Mm-hmm. And it's, but it's a fun time. It's a fun time. Yes, I still feel it. It's a great feeling.
Yes, I mean, same. It's a great time in their lives. A lot of emotions, you know, a lot of unknowns. You know, your life is getting ready to change. You know, you're headed somewhere. Sometimes you go to a place where you are familiar with the market. Sometimes you go somewhere you have no idea. And, you know, your family and your friends and all that, they kind of follow you on your journey. But it's an exciting time for these young men. It's a lot of fun for us as we evaluate them and then see how they do. But for these guys, their lives are getting ready to change dramatically.
Back then, it was only one day, right?
That's how I remember it, yeah. One long day.
You remember that call? Each of you getting that call and who called you?
Yeah, Bum Phillips. Bum Phillips called.
Oh, yes, I remember that. I got drafted way later than Jack. So it was almost bedtime for me. But I couldn't sleep at all. But, yes, Mr. Davis, secretary, called and put the defensive coordinator on. I do remember that. Bob Zeman, talked to him.
Reggie, you talked about the positive culture that's been built. Obviously, your owner has been very outspoken with a zero-tolerance policy against domestic violence. How does that impact you guys should a Joe Mixon come up and you guys are considering a pick there?
What we do, we research everything. We get all the information, and we will not make a decision until all the information is in front of us. And with certain issues like domestic violence, we consider that to the extreme. We really look into everything surrounding that. So every decision will be well researched. So if it's one way or the other, we're going to make it to where that decision is based on all the facts, all the research, and on the kid moving forward. But yes, we do we hold that very, very dear to what we do as far as who we bring in. Absolutely. We will not tolerate that at all.
Reggie, I want to ask you two general questions about the draft board. Obviously, the specifics don't leave your room. At this point in the process, we're less than a week away from the first round. Is it cemented, your draft board, barring player injury, a player character issue that might arise between now and then? Is it done at this point?
Oh, you asking me, is the hay in the barn? For the most part, yes. I mean, we're not going to play musical chairs. We know where we want the players, and that the final touches are what they are, but most of the work, just about all the work has been done.
And secondly, there seems to be a range. You know, some teams have X number of players that they would consider draftable for a specific class. Others might have far more. Where do you, I don't know, some teams have said, you know, here's a hard number. We have 175 guys on our board. We have 75. If you're willing to fall on that line, like, what number does that look like? And if you want to give a general number, that'd be fine. But just what's the ballpark of how many guys you go into this draft as saying these are a number of draftable guys?
Next question. Thanks for asking.
Coach, question for you quickly. Just talk
about I can answer. It's a lot.
Jack, just talk about really quickly one more question about the schedule. A lot of love for the Raiders this year nationally, the game on Monday night on Christmas and three Sunday night games this year. So, I mean, what is that? You know, how do you guys get pumped up for that, those Sunday night games, knowing that you're going to be in the national spotlight and the Raiders aren't going to sneak up on anybody this year because they know you're bringing a good team back?
Yeah, I think we have an excellent schedule. It's a very challenging schedule. And, you know, we look forward to being able to play in some of those primetime games that the league has placed us in. I think you come off a year where you're doing some good things and there's some excitement and you get some of those opportunities. So we're proud of that.
Yeah, Reggie, a few years ago, I think it was, you took a guy that had an issue in his past. Remember we asked you and you just said, you know, at the end, I just went with my gut. And he turned out to be a pretty decent player for you. How much of it is that, you know, that just the feeling you get looking across at somebody and seeing in their eyes and speaking to them, you know, is that a lot of times just carry the day for you?
Yes. I mean, you have to feel the guy. Like I said earlier, it's, you know, we're dealing with young men, whether they had a mistake here or there, you know, got drunk, bar fight, whatever the case may be. You try to feel the remorse, but you try to gaze and see, is this a malicious situation? Will it continue to be an issue? And if your gut's telling you, let's give this young man a shot, I'll try to lean towards that, you know. I'm not going to, you know, just bury the kid for a mistake. Certain issues.
I think the one thing about that too that I would just touch on is that the scouts spend a lot of time over years collecting information, and you know, you end up, you have good relations. You know, you know the janitor, you know the trainer, you know different people that interact with these young men on a day-to-day basis, and so. You know, not only that, but then you come in and you've got that information and then you're able to kind of see how they respond to other people in your building or in the interview process or with the coaching staff during the spring, with your scouts during the spring. So much of it goes into it. I think there's a, you know, at the end of the day, there, you know, may come down to, you know, making that kind of call. But I think there's a lot leading into it that helps you with that gut decision.
Reggie, it seems year after year you guys find one or two guys outside of the draft, the undrafted guys that end up coming in and contributing. How rewarding is it for you to kind of find those diamonds in the rough outside of the guys that you select within the draft itself?
It's very rewarding. I mean, you know, it's, you know, whether we had the guy, we signed him as a free agent, we may have had him on the board as draftable. But getting guys post-draft is, that helps you down the road. You're talking about to maintain a consistent winner, you have to hit on some of those guys. You have to. The way the contracts are these days, you have to have some of those type players to help you win football games year in and year out.
Reggie, what was your impression of Joe Mixon when you guys met with him?
We thought he was a really good kid. I mean, he came off very well. And he's explained each and everything, the question that we had. He had explanation. He was upfront about everything. So the kid is really came across a good kid.
And when you're factoring in, I know you kind of mentioned, you know, putting everything together, any potential, you know, backlash or, you know, people upset, you know, with a kid's previous type of, you know, behaviors, how is the organization kind of prepared to handle that if a situation were to occur like that?
When stuff like that happens, guys, if either, you know, whether it's domestic violence or drunken driving, you know, whatever issue that comes up, we'll be prepared to answer questions because we will do our research. And if we make a decision, we're going to prepare to have answers for each and every decision that we make.
Jack, this is a question for you. You made an addition to your coaching staff this offseason, adding John Pagano. As somebody who game planned, scouted, and really got to know your offense so well, specifically Derek Carr, what do you think him being in this building does for Derek as just somebody who knows his tendencies, knows what it's like to prepare for him multiple times a year? And what kind of role do you think, or impact do you think that can have on Derek's development?
Well, I think everything adds up. You know, when I coached in Denver and joined up with Peyton Manning, you know, there were some exchanges there about things that he saw that we did and maybe some things that we weren't doing anymore. But there's always that exchange of information that can benefit both sides.
I know you're tired about hearing about Marshawn Lynch, but as an East Bay kid, I'm really looking forward and hoping that he does sign with you guys. Isn't it something that you have to figure out before the draft? Because otherwise you're going to have to draft a more bell-type back as opposed to the change of base backs that you have with Washington and Rashard.
Oh, well, like I said earlier, I would like to have an answer, but it's not going to be the end all. If it's a good back that we like, and we're not going to go out of our way to just grab a certain big back, you know, if that's what you're asking. But we feel good about the young backs we have. If we can add another back, we will. That's like I was saying earlier. We're trying to get some more impact players, and if it's Marshawn, if it's whoever, we're going to do it.
Yeah, one question on more, yeah, following up on that, the open door that you said is still open for Marshawn there. So does that mean you guys are kind of still negotiating with him? Is it between you and him at this point before it reaches the stage of you and the Seahawks?
Well, that's just part of the process, you know. The Seahawks are still involved too, yeah. I mean, the league is still, he has to reinstate. I mean, it's a process. It's just not a, you know, one little thing, one little hurdle. It's a couple of things that got to be done.